welcome Gary to our live call here this morning. It's good to have you with us. I know coming to us from out in Idaho is a pretty big endeavor early in the morning Eastern time. So thank you for getting up for us here. And so this for the next maybe 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about this new book that just came out titled What Jesus Refused to Do. Now, some of you might have listened to the interview we had with Gary maybe just 2 months ago on the book Sidetracked, a new book that Gary put out through CAM Books or Christian Aid Ministries, where that book is focused on helping people kind of grapple with what does it mean to be a kingdom Christian? What does it mean to live in our world and not be other world, especially when it comes to this idea of how does a Christian change the world or impact the world? And so, you know, we live in a time here in the United States, especially if you're in the U.S., where there's a lot of polarization and politics is at the forefront. This year is election year. And so Gary wanted to, he knew that that book would only be read by a certain segment of people. It's a pretty thick book. It's well worth the read. If you can, if you have an interest, please read it. But out of that book, he distilled a smaller book that's just 100 pages long. It's quite small. So I read this book in about 45 minutes the other morning. And so he's taking some of the concept out of the book, Sidetracked, boiling it down, and creating a book that can be easily read. It could be read by, an 8-year-old child could read this and really enjoy it, not be overwhelmed by the size. And also, this book can be used for specifically for just getting it out in your churches and getting out into your communities, having it at your business to hand out. So a quick read. So What Jesus Refused to Do is the title. And so Gary's going to be talking with us about that a little bit. And as I was reading this book again, and just being inspired by the message of the kingdom, by the reality that we have a way to change the world. And Gary, you make the case that we need to do more than acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, that we need to acknowledge him, yes, not only as our Savior, but also our King, and a King who has a kingdom or a nation that is here on earth. And so, and as those citizens of this heavenly kingdom, we have a role to play in this, that we need to understand, like, what does it look like for us who are citizens living in another country? What does it look like for us to bring a piece of the home turf to this soil? How can we be faithful ambassadors? And as I read this book, I kept thinking about the reality that maybe there's a part of me that wants to say, yes, it's so inspiring to see what Jesus did, but isn't it so different than now? Was the context that Jesus was born into there, you know, in Israel under the suppression of the Roman Empire, but yet it's so, we tend to think of it as very, not advanced in any way, like maybe very agricultural, very primitive, you know, and Jesus brings this message. Sure, maybe we can understand it there. But wow, today it's so different. It seems like there's just so much evil that is advancing around the world. As we know, just in the last month or two, we think of the address to the nation by Biden that was so dark, or even just within the last week or two, where on Easter Sunday there was a day of transgender visibility, I think, And then we have Trump, who's now saying that when he, if he gets elected, he's going to do a Christian visibility day, you know, so that the stakes seem so high. And maybe we live in such a different world, such a an advanced world. How can we look at these things, Gary, in the right framework? Could you help us out with that?
Yeah, well, thank you, Brian. I don't know if I can clear all that up. In many ways, we do live in a very different time. It's a time that there was not iPhones when Jesus was here. And yet, on the other hand, what I try to point out in the book is there are some basic similarities that are very interesting, I think. If you think back to what it was like when Jesus was born, Israel had a rich history. It was in the past. They had been a superpower. And I think they sat around and talked about the days of Solomon and how wonderful that was. And there was a time when they had been respected by the rest of the world. And now they were oppressed. And here they were waiting for somebody to come along and relieve them. But there was also a sense that darkness was increasing, I think. There was a sense of there was little chance of overcoming. Rome was an oppressive force. So externally, there was oppression. Darkness was increasing. But also internally, Jewish leaders were divided. It was infighting for power. And we read about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the conflict. And so in some ways, there was a similar feel that many Christians today in America have, that both externally we're being pressured, internally things aren't working very good, the world's getting darker and we should be doing something. So in some ways there is a similarity there. Coupled with that, though, I think is another thing that is interesting is if you think about the world that Jesus was born into and the conversations he listened to growing up, it would have been stories of past military conquests, of the times when Israel overcame their heathen enemies, and not just David and Goliath way back there, but even like Judas Maccabee, known as the Hammer, you know, who fought Antiochus Epiphanes. That period was only as far back then as the Civil War is today. We still talk about Gettysburg. And so there's some similarities in the feel, but those were the men who were heroes in when Jesus was born were warriors. They were the military individuals. And so if you think about youth today, and just think about evangelical Christianity, youth growing up, they are also being taught some things. Now I don't agree with everything they're being taught, but think about just the evangelical church. Many youth are growing up hearing that there was a time that America was a Christian nation, that there was a time back there when this is how it was. And the glory days are kind of in the past. And it's our job now as evangelical Christians to restore America to her previous glory. And yet, even though we long for that, we long for the, for a nation like that, there is this sense of discouragement, especially among evangelical Christians today. You know, you can read in the paper, it seems like almost continually, there's a loss of faith. There's a lack of interest in religion in America. There's church pews being sold on the internet for backyard seating. Churches are going away. 30% of Americans now, the largest segment of Americans and the religious scene are nuns or they don't believe in anything. There's increased loneliness and suicide among youth, loss of family values, academic decline. American students are not doing well compared to other countries. How often do you read something about school violence? Political division. This country is extremely divided, almost right down the middle between two factions that seem to be just at opposite ends. And there's this loss of hope. And American Christians feel this. They have this sense that something isn't right. And as all believers, even kingdom believers, we know we've been sent here to help make things right. And so we have the sense we should be doing something. And increasingly, Americans are turning to politics to do that something, to bring about change in some way, to get behind some bandwagon. And so the purpose of the book is to have something to give to people to share with them that there is a different way. There's another way that we actually fight evil.
Yes, and isn't it so true how the Christian world in the United States especially is having an identity crisis, right? We're realizing that there's many the amount of the percentage of those who don't classify themselves as religious at all is exploded. People are leaving the church, and we were just at a homeschool conference yesterday. And this the sense of like fear of the government and what United States is becoming is like palpable there. And some of the teaching, some of the classes are on, helping people, get engaged in politics and so the homeschool world, there's a lot of people who are leaving public schools because of what's happening, and they know what they're against, but what they're for is just is not this kingdom way. But it really can be it can be really what's the word that I want? Tempting. It actually is appealing. It can be really appealing because it's so tangible, this from their perspective, this fight against evil and good, and here, go do these things. And it can be so tangible. It can draw it in. It appeals to our flesh. Appeals to our flesh in so many ways. And so reading this book again this morning, skimming through it, was just really just confirming again in my mind that, wow, quote, Christianity America is not a friend to the way of Jesus. It is really as foreign. And you point out here, I think, five things that Jesus refused to do. And as I read through that, I was like, I mean, and then I pop back here to your next chapter two back. We talk about the five things, I think, or four things that the Church of the West has forgotten. And it's exactly the opposite, of what Jesus refused to do. The church in the West is embracing and aggressively embracing. And you would think the evidence is there to know that, you know what, this way is not having it's not very good fruit. The fruit of it is evident. So thank you, Gary, for writing this little booklet. Is there anything else that you would like to say, Gary, here? I would like to wrap up with just a couple paragraphs out of the back of the book. But yeah, is there any other things you would like to point out?
I might real quickly, if I could share my screen.
Sure.
There's a couple of drawings on there that I think can help maybe, because as you said, it can be a very what do I say, a hard sell to convince people. And can you see that screen now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so this is from Stephen Brubaker in his class there at Faith Builders, but I think it's good for people to get a visual of the difference, the way of the world, and then the way of Jesus. And one is a violent coercive, which forces my will on others, and the other is one that's compelling, that provides something beautiful. And the question that we have many times is in the middle. There's some that's kind of gray area, like we're not sure. And I think that's where our churches need to be walking through that and talking about it and communicating together. But I think it helps people to see visually there is a basic difference between these two views that's pretty important. If I was just going to summarize, though, the difference and what Jesus refused to do, Jesus had everything at his power that the evangelical church today is longing to grasp. They are longing for the ability to pressure people to do what they want them to do, to have a biblical worldview. And Jesus repeatedly refused to do that, even though if you can call 12 legions of angels, if you can do that, you can beat any military out there. If you can feed thousands of people from a small lunch, you can sway the masses. And he had all that ability. And yet he refused political protest. He did not try to reform Rome. He refused to do miracles in front of Herod, even though if he could have got Herod on his team, he could have really went places. He refused that. He refused even to discredit the authority of earthly leaders. He didn't do that. He refused to take timing into his own hands. He didn't use popularity or political power. And again, these are all things the church today, the evangelical church, is longing for. They're just wanting all this. And anyway, I would just say in that my conclusion would be this, that American unbelievers today think they understand Christianity, and they believe it's a belief system that allows you to go to heaven instead of hell at death. But it acts like the world. It responds like the world. It uses the same methods and tools as the world. And consequently, the image of God has been severely marred by Christianity today. And our role as Kingdom Christians is to provide a compelling, a beautiful picture, something that others want to see, where they see the poor being taken care of. They see the marginalized being cared for. They see people reaching out to refugees. And that is going to pull them in. They should see us ignoring fashion, ignoring wealth, ignoring status, ignoring name brand. As Kingdom believers, we believe those things will have no value before long, so we give them no value now. And they should see that in us. So anyway, thank you for the opportunity to share a little about it.
Thank you, Gary. And, as I was contemplating on this book, the thought of what if, all those, we had an introduction to Church Index, which is Anabaptists and similar churches, quote, kingdom churches, if you will. I think it was like 1,200 of those across the United States and around the world. But what if, especially those in the United States this year, would make it their goal to talk to people around them, and instead of kind of hiding the fact that we don't vote, is tell people that we don't vote and why. I've said it's our best kept secret. I've found it opens up doors, and people, they look at me as a conservative or very religious Christian, and they just think I'm the epitome of a right winger. But when you understand that I've never voted in my life, it they don't have a box for that. There's no hook to hang me on. And it gives so many opportunities then to share why. And so this book, I'm so excited to get this book into our cafe and have it to hand out to our neighbors. But what if all the churches across the United States would grab a whole stack of these books, have it in their businesses, in their homes, give it to the neighbors? We would hand out 100,000 or 200,000 of these books this year. What kind of impact could that be? I believe that people are looking for answers, and it could be a cultural moment that as a church we can step up to instead of retreating. Okay, building the walls higher, we can step forward and show the beauty of God's kingdom. And so I want to challenge us to consider that. We are selling this book at Strength to Strength for $2.75. We're actually selling it. We're making no money on it, very little money, if no money at all. And if you order $35 or more, you get free shipping in the United States. And so you can email us at contact@strengthtostrength.org with an order, or you can hop on our website and order. We would love to ship you a stack of these books. You can go to CAM Books. That's the ones who publish this book. And if you order 50 or more, it goes to $1.50 a book. And so that's the best price. If you need 50 or more, go to CAM Books. But if you want to order anywhere between 1 and 50, the best price is at Strength to Strength, because we do the breakdown right out the door at one book at $2.75 a book. I think over on CAM, I think it's like $5 or something like that. Between the one book and 50 and 49 books, the best place to get it, Strength to Strength, 50 and over, go to CAM Books. And so thank you for writing this book, Brother Gary, for stewarding that talent of yours for the kingdom. I want to wrap up with reading two paragraphs here at the end of his book. We are still sometimes tempted by the illusion that real change comes from a forceful top-down approach. We think that transformation will finally happen when the right people serve on the Supreme Court, are elected to Congress, or occupy the White House. But when followers of Christ begin to use Caesar's approach to bring change, something vitally important and beautiful is lost. As one writer said, we cannot fight for the kingdom of Christ in the same manner that the nations of the world fight. For the moment we do, we are no longer the kingdom of Christ, but the kingdom of the world. This upside down kingdom is built upon the way of Jesus. Like yeast in bread or seed in the soil, the process seems slow, and our impatience tempts us to utilize earthly power, politics, and the forceful ways of the world. But sacrificial love is always the way God intends for his people to stop evil. And when this love permeates the church, unbelievers will stop mid-stride and will marvel. They will be attracted by the compelling beauty. And we will all understand, finally, why there were some things that Jesus refused to do. So consider getting a stack of these books. Read it. Have your family read it. Have those in your church read it. And have your neighbors read it. Use it as a way. Use this cultural moment we're in as a way to plant the seed of the kingdom. Because and when we do that, we plant God's word, it will not return void. And so God bless you as you do that.